Thanks for listening to BS and Beer Media. This podcast is about fantasy football.
It's fantasy draft season. Be sure to reserve a spot at your local bar. And more importantly, pay your league dues, man. Pay your league dues. It's the Frenemies Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dale. And with me, man, I got my guy, Kyle. What up, bro?
What's up, Dale? How you doing?
You paid your dues, man?
Oh, yeah.
Don't be a bum, bro.
First of the month.
Don't be a bum, bro.
I got
pay
you.
Your dues.
No, I'm paid up and full. I'm ready to go.
Lock and loaded. Don't give the commissioner a big hassle to chase you down or worry about you not paying your dues or being in the league. Don't do that to the guy, I'm telling you.
Mm-mm. No, I know those people. I don't like those people.
Yeah. And speaking of people I don't like, I also got Tim with me.
Yeah.
And I already know the answer to the question with you. You're a bum. Tim's that guy.
Every year, I make Dale chase me down, get this money. Yeah. Come get this money, Dale. And then I'll pay him. Then I might pay him. The dues are $25. I pay him $23, make him chase me $5
more. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how he does, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim's a terrible, terrible guy to have in your league. I'm telling you, man. All right, y'all. You know how we got to do it first. We're starting off with what we're drinking, and I am drinking a nice glass of whiskey, a bourbon, whatever you want to call it, right? I got Evan Williams. It's the 100 proof Evan Williams, so we have the white label. It's the high class Evan Williams. That's what it is, all right?
Fancy. Nicely done. I like it. I actually don't have a beer, truthfully. Oh, that sounded so weak. I have a, it's a hard seltzer, so still alcoholic. It's a Topo Chico. It's the Tropical Mango one. They're actually pretty bomb, so I'm not, I'm not drinking beer, but I'm getting wasted with y'all, so still counts.
All right. I like it, man. I like it. All right, tell me what you got.
I got a local favorite, Flyway. It's called Bluebird, but it's a berry wheat beer. It's a wheat beer that's got some berry flavors in it, so pretty good.
Okay. So who makes that beer?
It's called Flyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's here?
In Little Rock. It's just Flyway, like one way, but it's and it sounds like fly away, but it's fly away.
All right. I've definitely got to get with you on these local beers, bro.
Yeah.
I did find some local brews maybe a couple weeks ago at the Whole Foods, of all places.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
I was looking for the kind of deal where you could just pick, you know, like a six pack and pay, you know, $9, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really find that at like my local grocery stores or even the liquor stores. And so, yeah, man, I went over there to the Whole Foods and they definitely had it, man. And I got a few different local things. So that was pretty good, though.
Whole Foods, man. Whole Foods is, they got some good stuff over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. All right, man, let's get into this news because before you're drafting, you need to be up on all the news because you can draft somebody that's hurt. And I did that. We just had a draft a couple days ago. We had it on Monday, and it's a dynasty league. So, you know, you draft hurt guys sometimes, right? And I drafted Jameson Williams, and he was placed on reserve NFI list, right? Non-football injury list. And this is stemming from his ACL tear that he had in the national championship game. So he'll probably be back maybe around November timeframe. So this is just like a long-term kind of investment here. But he's like the wide receiver 65.
Yeah.
But do you think, you know, with the knowing the time frame of his injury, I mean, do you think this will affect him a lot in dynasty formats as far as drafting?
No, dynasty format, I think you're pretty solid. I like him overall as a player. You know, always tough to see somebody go down not playing, but he's talented, man, and he's so fast too. He's one of those. Right. He's one of those wideouts who just burns people. Exactly. I like your pick, man. I'm not gonna lie, I like it.
I think he's a pick for. It depends on what your team wants to what you're getting. You know what I'm saying? If you win, you don't need a guy that's gonna be coming back and just learning the system in November.
That is factually correct.
And so you know, I mean, you're pretty much looking at really getting him at top speed next year, you know. And you know, if you're in a win now situation, you know, you have to pass on those kind of guys. But if you're okay pulling one in on a value like him, and you know, I know Dale didn't get the value, you know, that he wanted, but you know, that's my frenemy's chop today. You know? he could be a pretty good pick. He was rated as actually the best wide receiver coming out of the draft, but yeah. The injury back, you know.
Right, yeah. So. For me, it's more betting on a player. I just know he's a really good player, and I want to make sure I got him on my team. And wide receivers, man, they last a long time in the league, so I'm not going to have him this year. He'll be okay next year.
Where do you think your team's at, Dale? You think you – you in win now, or
no,
is this just a rebuild?
No, yeah? I'm in sort of a rebuild. I'm in that middle mode. That's where I'm at. And so I know who the top teams are in that league. I may have a week where, you know, Kamara goes off and Jameis might go off, Wilson goes off, something like that. You know, and it boosts those things up, and I can compete with them for a week. Mm-hmm. But consistently, no, I'm not competing on that level. So.
Yeah, as long as Dale's finishing behind me, I'm happy.
He's a bubble team though. He could sneak in from the sound of it. But
even if he sneaks in the playoffs, he ain't going far. He ain't going that far. So
well, big problem on that team. I mean, look, I got all kind of problems, but last year with injuries and injuries at my running back spot. Now Elijah Mitchell, he's got a hamstring injury, but they say he's on track to return by week one. Now he's currently going as the RB22 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think this could be a good value when you're drafting for Elijah Mitchell? I always look at San Francisco running backs as a toss up. We don't know who's going to be the guy any week. Am I right, Tim?
Yeah. Them in New England, man, you're always going to be guessed. Whoever's that guy for the week, man, he's going to go off. He's going to get you points, you know, but you got one of five that could do it, you know, and you just can't you can't start all five of them looking to get 30 points out of that.
You're not going
to
handcuff four people and just go that route because that's they ain't going to win you games. But San Francisco, yeah. Kyle Shanahan, man, something about that offense. Just the way he runs it, the way he calls his plays. I mean, you know, you'd be lucky to see if one of the backs is on the waiver wire and pick him up, but Dynasty League, you're kind of stuck there. So, but I like Mitchell. He's pretty good.
So what would you think about him just like in a standard league, drafting him as the RB22?
I mean, he's ready week one, right? Then, you know, roll with him. Okay. Like I said, some of these systematic backs, they just they find a way to score points, you know. I don't know about Trey Lance and everything, but the Trey area, as they say. But I don't know. I do like Kyle Shanahan a lot, and that's something you got to look to. You know, who's calling the plays? That's something I really like when you have somebody who knows an offense, who can run an offense up and down the field. That's one thing I'm always going for. I don't know about y'all.
Well, they've also been bringing up issues about Trey Lance stealing goal line work, and Trey Lance stealing stealing some rush plays out of there, you know.
It's going to happen.
Going to be called for.
Yeah, he's athletic, definitely.
So, you know, that dual threat quarterback right there, it does do some damage to the running backs, you know. But also, Mitchell can, you know, catch the ball in the backfield. So, they're kind of expecting a little bit of bump on Mitchell for the passing game, but a little bit of a negative bump on their run game from Trey Lance being around.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, how do you feel about Trey Lance overall? I mean, do you think, you know, this is a good quarterback to be leading your team?
You hear how athletic he is and how, you know, he's an athlete. But we all know that does not always translate. And until he kind of proves himself, until he gets, you know, a good solid string of games together, I'm not buying into it. You know, he's got a great play caller, so that works out. I don't know if I like him yet. It's kind of up in the air still.
Now, Tim, I know you traded for him last year. Like, you were really high on him, right?
Oh, I drafted him in two leagues, both my dynasty.
Okay.
You know, so I made the bet that he's going to be the starting quarterback over there. It's really what I made the bet on. It wasn't necessarily Trey Lance. It was, like Kyle's attunement says, that, you know, it's the Shanahan system over there has always produced quarterbacks. I think there was I saw some stats, and it was like almost every quarterback he's ever had has thrown for over 4,000 yards. And Trey Lance run on.
Wow.
Yeah. So, then the question is, how many touchdowns is he going to get? You know, that's, you know, that'll put him in the up. That if he gets a good amount, you know, let's say 30 touchdowns, that's going to put him up there in top five, top, you know, with the running capabilities, the pass that he's going to have with Shanahan. And those touchdowns, that'll put him in the top five quarterbacks for sure.
Man. Okay. Well, yo, have you guys been watching Hard Knocks?
A little bit.
So, I mean, Tim brought up a great question last week or so. He asked me who was going to get the Hard Knocks bump, because every Hard Knocks, you get a guy that, you know, they kind of focus in on, or you can kind of hear the coaches talking about a lot. And so you kind of zero in on them on fantasy during draft time. Do you see a guy on the show that may pop out like that?
I'm saying the wideout, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Not so much in the show, but he's one of the guys that came out last year that really kind of caught my attention. I don't know. He's a playmaker. And I'm a Goff fan. I think Jared Goff is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's a good passer. I don't see, you know, why people just give him that. I like him. I think he can get the ball down the field. And I like that little connection. But then again, you know, how good is offense really going to be? It's tough to say.
Yeah, I drafted him in the dynasty league this past week. I want to say I got him in like the seventh round of a 10-round draft. So that was good value for me.
Yeah, great name too. Great name.
Yeah, but I do agree with what you're saying now. So this not this last week, the week before, he was working out with his dad. His dad was like Mr. Olympics and something like that, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
His brother, he's got another brother that plays in the league as well, Equanimeous St. Brown. And they all working out with the dad, and like they just jacked dudes, you know, just lifting and stuff, bro. Like, and then you see his work ethic. He's like catching 202 balls every day off the jugs machine, like, whew. Yo, every day.
He's got that work ethic. That's just, you know, USC Trojan, man.
Yeah.
They pop out some good players, some hard workers.
Right. So I do have to agree with what you're saying. In the first episode, I thought it may be Jamal Williams, just because he gets a lot of camera time, you know.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of hype, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But definitely after that last episode, though, I'm on Ross St. Brown, for sure. So that's the answer to your question right there, Tim.
I got you. Yeah. Dale, Dell knows I like that answer right there, too, because I already got him on Ross St. Brown. So I'm just, you know, he knows I'm laying down some trades, coming around.
Yeah.
Waiting on the
pump. That's his plan. That's his plan.
I want to grab him before HBO gets hot, and then I'm going to trade him right after HBO's hot, man. I might get max value out of this guy. You notice, too, during the podcast, you know, I keep talking about value, you know, because I think that in Dynasty, no matter who you're drafting, where they're drafting at, it's more about value. You want to draft somebody in the sixth round that should have went fifth round or the fourth round. And you want to draft somebody in eighth round who should have went in the seventh round, you know? So that's really a big key to winning fantasy is value.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that. Well, another story is, I mean, really, really familiar to us Saints fans. Michael uh-huh. Thomas, hamstring injury. He did not practice this week. But there's multiple sources reporting that it's not a big deal. He's going to be okay. He's going to be on the field week one. I'm excited about that. And so far, Dennis Allen has not lied to the media as a coach. So he said it. I'm going to trust it until you give me a reason not to. I mean, am I right here, Kyle?
I trust it. You know, a lot of people might see that and think, maybe that's stemming from his other injury. He's not 100% yet. He's not all the way back. Does he need to be 100%? I mean, he's Michael Thomas. Are we talking about the same person here? I mean, he's got the record for you know, most receptions in a season. I'm just thinking, you know, even if he's not 100%, you still want him out there on the field no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Now he's going as the wide receiver 26, 64th overall.
Yeah.
I mean, at the 26th wide receiver being taken, like, that's great value, right, Tim?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely. And, you know, I'm not trying to take all Walmart stuff over here, you know, it's definitely get some value out of your money. But
yep.
I also kind of leery of hamstring issues, you know, those soft tissue issues, specifically hamstrings, quads, you know, when they start talking about that, I had a couple of weeks on the timeline personally, because it's always like that, you know, where they get back out there and then they're right back off the field again because they're trying to get. I don't like that whole sitting the distraction, the sitting duck, you know, kind of thing. You know, like they're out there, they're running plays, you know, but they never throw the ball to them because, you know. But I don't mind that later in the season, you know, and later in the playoffs or whatever too. But right, you know, early on, I'd rather just let them sit.
Well, that's brutal for us fantasy players. I don't want you to go out there being a decoy. You know,
yeah. If fantasy wise, that's not what you want at all. a diehard Saints fan, you want him on the field, but yeah. Fantasy, I still think he's going to get you some points. We won't know until, you know, we get out there and we see. We still need somebody to block for Winston. So first and foremost, there's that.
Yeah.
But with all the weapons around him, you think that offense might have a shot of being really good. I just, you know, it's tough to tell yet. Just got to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun. So go over to their Facebook group and check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. So going out to Seattle, Kenneth Walker, he might not be ready for week one. And, I mean, the news on him is he's making progress every day, but it was like a hernia surgery. I don't know if it's like sports hernia where you had to get the little mesh, whatever. But, yeah, he's questionable here. And I know this is a guy being taken as the 36th running back. And I know, well, I talked to Tim about this the other day. I'm yeah. in this fantasy, this dynasty league I really don't care about. I just try different stuff in it, right? And I'm totally building this team from scratch. And this was my year to get running backs. And so I drafted a bunch of running backs. And Ken Walker, some kind of way, he got traded in some kind of deal. But I'm sorry, within a trade of some other deal, he got dropped. That shows you how deep other people are in this league. They dropped a first-round pick like Ken Walker. And so I saw him out there, and I put in like a 100% waiver bid on him to get him. Because I'm like, I'm not going to compete anyway. I'm just going to make sure I get my running backs this year.
Yeah.
I mean, was I insane to do so?
No, it's a dynasty team that's really not a terrible move on your part. Seattle's offense this season, let's not even talk about it. You know, DK Metcalf might get you some points, maybe, but I'm not going to count on it. Seattle's just kind of a complete mess right now. So I'm personally staying away from anything in that, you know, general direction. No, thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dynasty pick, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. You did the right thing.
What you think, Tim?
The shotgun approach, man. You know, you need to fill a hole really hard. Just you know, draft a bunch of running backs or draft a bunch of wide receivers. You know, especially if you've messed up and traded some higher picks. You know, higher picks away, then you use pretty much everything and just draft that one position, and you end up with usually like three or four that you did pretty good on. So you end up quite surprised. You could trade those away for more value later. You know, a higher round pick than you spent this year for them. Higher round pick next year for it.
Yes, especially running back.
And I'm always waiting on you to fail, though.
For shame!
I'm waiting on Dale to fail. In my phone, his name is spelled F-A-L-E. And not D. I'm waiting on him to fail.
Terrible.
It's understandable. Terrible, man.
Darren Waller is also going to be uncertain for week one. That's I know a tight end people are going to be counting on their team.
Yeah.
Man, that was a guy who also got the Hard Knocks bump, because when our draft came, man, I got sniped like right before I was going to take Waller. Somebody got him, and it was like, man, this guy was a beast on Hard Knocks. You know, damn Hard Knocks got me, man. But, I mean, are you concerned about Waller possibly not being available week one? Does that change your idea of maybe drafting him or not?
Probably not. Probably in a tight end spot. If that's something you could live with from a tight end position. I don't know about drafting him real high, though. I don't think I would. I think he's going to drop.
Right.
So
I think he's still a top three. I think he'll still be a top three tight end, even with missing 2 weeks or so. You know, now they got to cover Devontae Adams too on the other side, you know, I'm assuming that he's going to always run the opposite sides of Devontae Adams. He's good quality, and he's going to miss a couple. But then the question really is, too, when you draft a guy like that, a tight end, you expect to not have to draft yes. another tight end. That's kind of the part of the plan when you get those top three tight ends. So I think his season's going to be okay, but maybe your draft strategy needs to change. You know, to where you don't pick him up. Maybe you pick up more wide receivers in that range instead and go with the lower tier tight ends for the year.
Waller is like right in between Kittle and Schultz.
Yeah.
So these are probably two other guys I'd rather have, just knowing they're going to play week one versus I'm not sure when Waller's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agreed on that. Even a couple more, maybe Andrews in Baltimore, definitely.
Yeah.
Obviously, Travis Kelce. I'll probably come up with a couple more, too.
I'm with you. I see it. I'm looking at the ADP right here, you know, and to be honest, where Waller's going at, which right now is 48, number 48 overall.
Yeah.
You know, where he's going, I think I would probably rather go with Schultz or Hockenson at 63 and 68.
Definitely Hockenson.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, then Goedert, get Dallas Goedert's all the way down to 83. But, I mean, I would probably get Schultz or Hawk, and then plan to come back and pick up either Dallas Goedert or even Zach Ertz at 97, man. Those aren't bad choices because Ertz is going to be hot. Actually, Ertz is going to be hot early on because Hopkins has got, you know, that
six games. Yeah,
six-game suspension for Hopkins. But what they do have Rondale Moore and A.J. Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they still got some talent out there, receiver for Kyler Murray to throw to.
Did they keep A.J. Green?
Yeah, they re-signed him.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Chase Young. Let's go to defense, right? Chase Young is going to be out four games at least because they put him on the PUP list. And he had, you know, he got a ACL torn last year. It was right around week 10. But he's going, I want to say like the, oh, he's the number 11 edge rusher going. Right in between Danielle Hunter and DeMarcus Lawrence. So, but he's definitely going to miss the first four games. So I know he's going to drop because you can't just hold, I guess, you know, roster space that much for a defensive end, usually in your fantasy team. All right, Tim?
Yeah, yeah. You know, this typically a defensive end, I'm going to be waiting late to pick up any of those guys. I might just see what's left over on defensive end. You know? I do have Chase Young on my dynasty team. So this kind of has some salt on the slug kind of scenario going on for Tim. You know, he's going to end up hurting me a little bit. I was kind of counting on him this year, but yeah, that happens. And, so I would probably go after someone else, you know, a little older, a veteran. You know, that way I don't, you know, he is young, got a lot of talent and moving up. Dynasty wise, I'm going to have to go with a veteran though, because most people throw them out like they're dead to the water.
Yes.
But on a redraft league, you know, hopefully I haven't drafted him yet. He'd happily, somebody else hasn't drafted him yet, should I say. Oh, a correction, by the way, I wanted to mention that, on the Cardinals team roster, it's Marquise Hollywood Brown. That
I forgot about him.
Yeah, from the Raiders.
You're right.
And Brown and Murray played together in college, right?
Yes.
I think. So, Brown, AJ Green, and you're right, Rondale Moore. Also, by the way, if Hopkins would not have gotten suspension, I think Ertz was out to the pasture, you know.
Okay.
But Hopkins with the suspension, they're predicting that Ertz is going to have some, you know, could be hot early in the season. So might be something you want to get him, ride him while he's hot, and then trade him after.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, well, let's keep looking at this ADP. And I want to talk about some of the guys that you prefer and why you may prefer them. And I like to, you know, maybe compare some of these players and, you know, maybe get some disagreement or something going on.
Yeah.
All right. So if we're looking at running backs, I had one that was kind of interesting. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's at 27. And then they have Miles Sanders at 28. So what I'm thinking is Edwards-Helaire is safe. He's consistent. He's probably going to get some goal line touches. So he'll get a good number, a good solid number, you know, and week in, week out. Miles Sanders, though, and for me, I always like to go safe. I like to keep it consistent. I want to get the same amount of points from all my guys every week. and put up a, you know, a solid number every week, no matter what. When you have those boom or bust, it's great, you know, 1 week, and then the next week they give you a dud, right, and it kind of loses your week. So I'm wondering what you guys think. Both pretty good offenses. Philly is supposed to be this great team this year. You know, Jalen Hurts, I'm not real high on. I see him up on the board in front of guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand that one. But now Philly probably will have a pretty decent team this year. So I'm wondering what you guys think between, you know, Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I like Clyde more. Don't get me wrong, I'm an LSU fan, so I'm a little biased, yeah, right? Yeah. But I love his receiving part, the receiving part of his game, and I believe Mahomes is going to end up using that a lot. Now, Miles Sanders, man, he's good when he's on the field, but man, he's rarely on the field. And then they've also got other backs in that room now. So when he goes out, mm-hmm, somebody's going to take his job. So I don't really consider him to be a long-term starter in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, unless I'm mistaken, those are the projected, you know, starting backs for each team. Both, you know, Chiefs and Eagles are supposed to be, you know, pretty damn good offenses. Right. And I'm not seeing, you know, these – both these guys are kind of just, you know, I could go either way at that point. The consistent play is you know, Edwards-Helaire. But, you know, you got your boom or bust. I think I'm taking the LSU guy, taking Clyde.
I got to say, I don't like either one of these choices. You know, if I'm sticking with Miles Sanders or Clyde, I don't like either one of them. I personally – I do. They're both on. You know, Clyde is definitely on a great offense, and you know. But I think they were talking about him lacking pass protection last year, and not catching the ball as often as they were wanting him to. He's definitely not fitting into the whole Kareem Hunt kind of game that it used to have, that the Chiefs used to have, and they pass up a lot more last season. And I think they pass the ball a lot more last season because Clyde isn't the kind of running back they're used to having around. Then, you know, of course, like you were saying too about Miles Sanders over there in Philly, you know, he's always hurt. He's not on the field. And he had a chance a couple of years back to be the man over there, and he's not the guy either, you know. Out of the two right now, I would personally have to – I personally have to just wait and go to Miles Sanders. You know, I like Kansas City's offense, but I'm kind of curious about how the pass game's going to go on again. I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes. I'm agree, but I believe it's not the same Kansas City that we're going to be seeing with Tyreek Hill and everybody else on it. And Miles Sanders, I think there's more personally. There is more upside, more explosion there. But you know, I'll roll the dice with that one this time.
Okay. All right. Well, who are your guys that you picked out? And I typically wanted to pick out guys in the middle of the draft because everybody talks about the first round, man. Let's do something different.
Yeah.
So, all right. So who are the guys you looked at?
Well, look, I picked these two. Right here, I actually kind of picked two sets of twos, but okay. I picked two right here because I thought you guys would love me for picking these. All right. So I'm going to go Allen Robinson and Michael Thomas.
Ooh.
All right. And I'm in redraft. My scenario is redraft, by the way. Okay. So I'm going to tell you why I'd rather have Allen Robinson.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. I'm a owner. Y'all are Michael Thomas fans by a great margin. But I would rather have Allen Robinson because he's coming in. He's going to end up being the number two guy over there for the Rams, and he's always produced with terrible quarterbacks. Last year I think was a con, but you know there was a lot of questions with Allen Robinson from last year because he didn't show up. You know, but I really think that was a dispute with the Bears and the offense and Nagy's offense. And so now, though, he's got a chance to be that OBJ position for the Rams and actually stay healthy, because Allen Robinson, outside of that ACL tear he had, I think, with the Jaguars. Was that with the Jags?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like 6 years ago, yeah. I think. It feels like.
Mm-hmm. That was a while ago.
Yeah, and he's produced with terrible quarterbacks, you know, and I think right now, Matt Stafford, this is the best quarterback he's ever had. So I guess really my statement being is that I'm choosing Allen Robinson because I know the quarterback.
Okay.
Over my.
All right, so this is a shot at Jameis. That's what you're doing. You're taking a shot at Jameis.
Yeah, in the long run, you know.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
He's looking at the facts. You know, Winston really didn't play too much last season. You don't exactly know what you're getting, especially with Peyton gone, not calling plays. The one thing is Carmichael, the offense coordinator, still there. So I'm thinking not a whole lot changes. But, yeah, with last year being the way it was, him going down and us just scrambling to find a quarterback, it's tough. I love Jameis. I've seen him throw for 5,000 yards before. That was a while ago, though. That was a different team ago. That was Bruce Arians ago. But, you know, if they really could get it together, like I said before, pass protection is going to be huge on that. But, you know, that's kind of if you're going to just buy into it, go all in. You take Michael Thomas. You pick up maybe Olave or Juice Landry, whoever's hot at the time. To be a flex, you could roll with them and just boom or bust. But then again, there's that chance where, you know, they can't protect Jameis. They're not able to run the ball real well, and their offense sputters. I'm a Saints fan. I'm buying into it, but I really don't see a whole lot of other people doing that. So
yeah,
it's still a toss up. But for me, I'm buying into it, and I'm going all in. I'm taking. You know, I'm taking Olave before Juice Landry, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the rookie. He did catch that touchdown. He was a touchdown machine in college. And I feel like he's, you know, he's the guy who's going to step up and be two.
What do you let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Kyle. Over, you know, on a dynasty scenario, Olave or Thomas?
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, Mike Thomas.
You going
Thomas? Mike Thomas.
All right.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, either he's going to play and he's going to be that guy again, or he's going to be injured and he's not going to play. In that case, you know, I'll take that L. But I'm buying in on Thomas. If he's ready to come back, he says he's ready and he's good to go, I'm rolling with him. I'm going to draft him high, you know, when I can. But, yeah, he's still Michael Thomas. And people didn't see him all of last year, so they might have forgot. But
yeah.
Yeah, man, this is the same guy he's a record holder. So
well, you kind of nailed a little bit on it, but in dynasty, well, in fantasy football, totally, it's who hurt me recently, you know?
Yeah,
most recent, and Michael Thomas hurt a lot of people last year, you know. So
mm-hmm.
His ADP is probably lower than what he is, you know. And by the way, I'm not sure that I've mentioned it or not, but let's see here. Allen Thomas's ADP is number 62 right now, and Allen Robinson, sorry, is 62, and Michael Thomas is 64. So that's why I was bringing those two together, because they're really close, you know.
Yeah, I'm showing Robinson as the wide receiver 21 and Michael Thomas wide receiver 29, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one you sent us from earlier, mm-hmm. Dale. I mean, it's still pretty close. It's Allen Robinson 24 and Michael Thomas 31. Okay. But I'm just seeing a ton of guys. Like, you're looking up the list and you're like, really, that's these are guys that are on terrible offenses. And there's, you know, they're the number two receiver, but they're still ahead of wide receiver one on their team. It's it just you don't take the second wide out unless it's a really good situation and you know you can trust them. You don't take the second wide out on a team before you get a guy's wide receiver one. That's just you know, even bad teams are going to get you some points, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was going to be my other thing. It's like, he's definitely wide receiver two. Mike Thomas should be wide receiver one coming back. Now, how many how many targets and stuff do you think Robinson's going to get, you know, with being at the wide receiver two out there?
With Cooper Kupp getting about 50 targets a game, that's it's tough. But, oh, man, if you got, you know, a couple of the first picks and you want to take Cooper Kupp, good on you, because that guy just killed everybody last year. But, yeah, a lot of guys on the team around him, and now he's got Allen Robinson, like this solid, solid receiver to line up next to him. So I guess it's kind of tough to figure that out. You had OBJ there last year, and that was great, but he's not – I don't know if he was really, you know, this the playmaker he was. I just feel like he's definitely lost a step with all the, you know, all the stuff going on with him off the field. And he just isn't the same player he was when he, you know, first came out. But Allen Robinson is definitely one of those guys who's, he's a big target and he deserves some. So you wonder how they're going to split that up with him and Kupp.
Yeah.
All right. So you say you had two more, Tim?
Yeah, I had another pair. And my other pair was, Dak Prescott, number 72, quarterback number 8 on the list I got. And then Russell Wilson, number 80, quarterback 9. And my argument's Russell Wilson, man, right here. Because, look, you know, first off, you got 8 positions between 72 and 80. And that's almost a whole round right there. That you could pick Russell Wilson later. And really, I believe Russell Wilson's going to be outperform because he's going to – this is going to be a pass offense, which he's always really, honestly, Seattle's always been a run first offense, you know. And when Russ has been all those years when he was doing really good, Seattle was running the ball more. I think it was more carries than they were pass. They were still like 55% carry, and so I'm expecting Denver to, with their terrible defense, to come up in here and need to pass a whole lot more than they did. The talent they got. And all those pieces put together, I think it's going to be a good year for Russell Wilson at number 80.
Yeah. I have Wilson at 80 overall and QB 11, and Dak is at QB 8, 72 overall. I would definitely draft Russell Wilson before Dak because – Dallas has serious wide receiver issues with so many guys out injured. I'm trying to think of the guy's name.
Tolbert.
Well, yeah, Tolbert. That's the rookie, right? So he's the rookie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Gallup, who's starting off the season on PUP. And he's, recovering from knee injury, so.
Yep. And CeeDee Lamb being questionable.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is questionable as well. So Tolbert is like their number one guy. That's a rookie. And I want to say he came from a small school, if I'm not mistaken. So usually those guys take a little bit of time to adjust to the NFL. So I really don't see Dak coming out on fire. I actually see them running the ball a lot. And maybe this looks good for Elliott more than anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, with Russ out there, Russell Wilson has some damn good receivers. I like Judy and I like Sutton a lot. Those two are that's a absolutely pretty deadly combo. But I'm gonna actually say Dak Prescott, and because of what you just brought up, you know that they might have to run the ball a lot. Well, how do you run the ball? You have a damn good offensive line.
Yeah,
I feel like the offensive line moves the offense. If you're running the ball, it's going to open up a lot of pass plays for Dak. And if their offensive line is what, you know, anything close to what it's been in recent years, man, Zeke running the ball down the field, and then that play action just opens up, and you can throw it to whoever. I can go out in there and catch passes for Dak if that's the case. If they got Zeke running the way he was with the offensive line playing like that, I like Dak Prescott. I don't like how – they have Aaron Rodgers on this list, the same list that Dale's looking at. It says Prescott 8 and then Brady and Rodgers 9 and 10 respectively. which I don't know where this came from. I don't know if I understand that. Are we really seriously putting Brady and Rodgers 9th and 10th?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also more power to you too on, you know, picking a quarterback late, you know, you might get a top one or two quarterback early if you want to draft somebody early, but the amount of points they're going to give you isn't that much, you know, it's not that much higher than these other guys like Tom Brady and the ones in the backside, draft. Yeah. So that's always a piece, you know, drafting a quarterback late is actually kind of a strength move.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, cause there's so many quarterbacks out there that you can get, especially in a standard league. You'll be fine to wait on quarterback. But one thing to factor in is Dallas has like the easiest schedule, in the NFL, like period. Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody in the NFC East has the easiest schedule, by the way. Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you should kind of factor that in when you're looking at projections of what they're going to do this season here. So, all right, well, let's wrap this thing up with we're going to have our draft on the 28th. We're hoping to have everybody in a big Skype or whatever, and we get to record everything and we get to make a little show out of it. But is there any advice that you would give to the other people in the league? Especially because this IDP thing may be new for some people. My number one advice is going to be wait on picking your IDP players, because it's going to be a ton of linebackers out there. You can find one at any point in time. It's going to be like the 24-hour Walmart, I'm telling you.
Right.
That those don't exist anymore, Dale.
Oh.
Not this 24 hours anymore,
post-COVID stuff, huh?
Hey, gas station is the only thing 24 hours nowadays, man. You don't get no Walmart. You don't. I tried to go to Walmart the other day. It was like 11:30, and I was like, damn, COVID got in, you know?
Yep.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
COVID, yep. COVID's out there in the back like Swiper on Dora the Explorer, you know? Keeps on coming. Creeping up. No, Swiper, no. No, COVID, no. You know, COVID takes away all my privileges, you know?
Yeah,
so
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
But
all right. So do you have any advice for the people in the draft for the 28th there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're on a fantasy podcast. I forgot about that. I'd probably look at getting IDPs after running backs and wide receivers. You know, stock up your running backs, wide receivers, get your IDP and, you know, your quarterbacks later. And then, you know, if you want the top tier tight ends, get those super early. But after that, wait later also. Running backs, wide receivers are more money than anything.
Yeah. Kyle, you got anything?
Yes. I'm definitely saying any advice I have written down, make your damn pick already. Everybody's got those in the draft. Just the last second, he's saying 3-4 times before he makes it. Just make a pick and roll with it. You know, when you got a draft, how many of those players you actually in the season? Come on, let's be real here.
I mean, that could be a draft strategy now, like, you know. Piss people off.
No. Any true advice, if we're running this league where it's a quarterback, we have a couple running backs, there's 3 wide receivers and a flex. So you potentially are starting 4 wide receivers every week. I'm saying, you know, IDPs, the defensive players, do that at the end like you would a kicker. You know, quarterbacks, probably want to hold off on that. Tight ends, unless, you know, you're reaching for somebody, I would wait on that. Go ahead and get wide receivers, man. If you're rolling with 3 and a flex, you know, my lineups usually look like I'm starting a couple running backs and I'm starting 4 wideouts. So just, you know, I would keep that in mind, 3 wide receivers and a flex. So that's true advice from my good heart for anyone who actually needs it. Definitely not to y'all, but, you know, that's what I would suggest. Make your damn pick and Keep an eye out on those wideouts, man.
All right. So I'll write this down as a note. Kyle is impatient.
Please, please, both of you write that down.
All right. So you want to keep a note on your people that you're playing fantasy with. Push their buttons whenever you can.
No, I'm just saying. We all have those people, okay? Y'all act like I'm making this up.
Oh, no, you're right.
No, all the way till the end, until there's 1 second left, until they got to pick it, you know?
You're right. I love going. I don't want to say as fast as I can, but I kind of got I'm walking in more prepared than most people are. You know, walking in the draft more prepared. And I got, like, highlighted guys within ranges that I'm looking at. You know, I draft on a tier basis. And so, you know, if you want to look that up, do tiered fantasy drafts. But I want to make my pick somewhat quick because I don't want to give the other guy next to me 2 extra minutes out of my time to decide his pick.
Damn straight. Damn straight. I appreciate everything you just said, Tim. I appreciate it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There you go.
All right, y'all. Well, we'll be back with more fantasy news.
Bye.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.